So this morning I wanted to begin by giving you thoughts to ponder, to kind of open your minds to a new way of thinking. So I want to ask you a few questions just to kind of get us rolling. How far can a dog run into the woods?
Very far.
What was that, Jess?
Halfway.
That's correct. Because once it gets halfway, then it's running out of the woods. Okay, now you cannot answer this one. The man in the butcher shop is 6 feet tall. What does he weigh?
Meat.
Okay. So those of you who answered meat cannot answer the next one. What was the president's name in 1990? What?
Same as today.
His name 25 years ago was the same as it is today.
This is really canned laughter.
Okay, this is just for you. Why are gorillas' nostrils so big?
Free air.
Because their fingers are big. Not that terrible. And so I give you things to ponder, things to think about as we look at our gospel stories and the resurrection, because they're is a story to ponder. Particularly for those disciples and followers of Jesus in those days immediately following the resurrection and the early Christian church in the years to come. For Jesus of Nazareth was bodily raised from the dead. That is clear in our Gospels, particularly in Luke. Look, Jesus says, see and feel and touch. He eats in their presence. He is bodily raised from the dead. And then with that event, is the opening of a new era. The opening of a new creation. A time of transformation, a time for change in the ways in which we see God, ourselves, and one another. God has brought Israel a Savior. And with that bodily resurrection, with that celebration, with that arrival of a Savior, is the restoration of mission and a witness to God's grace and God's gifts. Now we begin by understanding that Jewish scriptures held no clear concept of existence after death. There's a story of a man who went back to his local synagogue where he had grown up and taken classes and learned, and he sat down and visited with the rabbi from those many years before, and he noticed on the rabbi's desk was a test that was given to their class. It was the same test that he had taken some 20 years earlier. And he questioned the rabbi. He says, you know, the same questions are on that test. Are you concerned that those questions are then known from year to year after year? And he said, no, because I changed the answers. And there were no clear answers during that day of a life after death. No clear answers and no clear understanding. No clear concepts. In fact, resurrection was not thought of as life after death at all, but rather that those in relationship to God, His people, were in safekeeping. And then they would rise again when God returned the fortunes of the people. There would be a collective rising of God's people, where there would be an overturning of the present world and an establishing of a new people in freedom and in peace. When God acted, the people would share in a new world. And God would make all things new not just a single individual, not just one person. So the concept of an individual resurrection or a personal resurrection was unheard of. And therefore, we can understand the skepticism of the disciples, the skepticism of the leaders of the traditions of that day. As an example, we can look at the story of Saul of Tarsus, whom we come to know then as the Apostle Paul. Saul believed that God would bring in a new world order. And so then, as they awaited that, Saul persecuted those early believers in Jesus. But then, as we know, in the life of Saul, all was changed. The risen Jesus turned his beliefs upside down. The resurrection changed how he saw the world. He writes to the Corinthians that Jesus was bodily raised from the dead. And his body was both similar and it was different. It was a time of transformation. It was a time of change. It was a time of new understanding and new concepts. And it was the account of the resurrected Jesus, the stories of the resurrected Jesus, the encounters with Jesus that led to the rise of early Christianity. We have to understand that the life and ministry, the death, the resurrection of Jesus took place in a 200-year period, in the midst of a 200-year period in which there were many messianic movements. There were self-proclaimed messiahs before Jesus, and there were self-proclaimed messiahs even after. But with these other messianic movements, they generally ended in execution, much like Jesus's. But their followers were either killed off, they dispersed and disappeared. But the followers of Jesus endured. The account of the resurrection led to a rise of the followers of Jesus. And so there was then a dawn of a new understanding of the world, of a new age, with this account of the resurrection. But what does this resurrection mean? What does it mean to Jesus' followers? What does it mean to us today? One thing that does not mean is that the world, that we live in a world in which problems are yet to be solved. We live in a world in which we cannot coast from one day to the next. The new has broken into the old world, but yet that old is still present, and that old is still powerful, and that old is still painful. However, though it was not what was expected, Jesus is the Lord of the world. And with the understanding of Jesus being the Lord of the world, having lordship over the world, he also has a lordship over the sinfulness of the world. And the followers of Jesus are to announce that lordship. They are to announce that new age and that new hope that comes with this understanding of forgiveness and the power over sin. And the establishment of a relationship of God and His people. But there is a new hope, and with that new hope, a new behavior. A group of parents were sitting around discussing the lives of their children, the different stages that they went through, all the different things that they experienced. And so they talked about which ones were most important, which ones were most celebrated, which ones they enjoyed the most. When one parent raised his hand and said, what he enjoyed the most is when they left home. And in many ways, that is the most important. Because preparations had been made for them to leave home. And with that comes new opportunity for the children. But the parents also then see a new time that would include new behaviors and a new outlook on their lives as well. And so in this new age, in this new era that we understand is being ushered in by the resurrection of Jesus, there is a new outlook as the followers of Jesus are summoned to the task then of being the loving presence of God that was witnessed to by Jesus. The focus then is not on oneself, but beyond oneself. As the followers of Jesus are equipped for mission to go into the world and to bring about change and new hope and new understanding, to transform individuals and communities and societies, to embody healing and a loving presence of God. The resurrection means a new age and a new time where the followers of Jesus then bring beauty where there is ugliness, hope where there is despair, peace where there is violence, and love where there is hatred. As we ponder the resurrection, we ponder the risen Jesus. Because the risen Jesus means a restoration of mission. It is not a conclusion, but rather a beginning. A beginning of what it means to follow Jesus. A beginning of what it means to live out the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus. For when Jesus came, Jesus called Israel to be Israel, to be what they were intended to be. Jesus called God's people to be God's people in the world. And Jesus calls us into this new age and in this new understanding where there is new hope and new behaviors. Of looking beyond ourselves and looking at the world and sharing with the world so that the world can know God. Amen.